Hey up, Sassnacks! It's Chelsea back for another episode of the Sassnack Files. This week we are discussing all of the deleted, extended, and additional scenes for my favorite season of Outlander, Season 5. But before we get into that, I want to take a moment to remind you that you can find the Sassnack Files on all sorts of listening platforms, including iTunes, CastBox, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and many more. Also, if you have not had a chance yet, make sure you head over to follow the Sassnack Files on both Facebook and Instagram to make sure you are up to date on all of the latest and greatest news concerning Outlander Seasons 7 and 8, as well as Blood of My Blood, Men in Kilts, and anything Diana Gabaldon cooks up. And with all of that out of the way, let's get into my analysis of all of the deleted, additional, and extended scenes from Season 5. So the first deleted scene from Season 5 is from Episode 2, Between Two Fires, and it is called Be at Peace. It's a really quick scene with just Claire, and she is burying Ottertooth's skull. I was trying to think back to the episode, because it's been a while since I've watched it, to think if there's any real reason that she would choose this episode to bury Ottertooth's skull. So the big thing about this episode is that everybody's getting on her for trying to change history by creating penicillin. I think this is just her way of recognizing that what Ottertooth did by trying to go back to the Mohawk in the early days and warn them of what was going to happen with the white men coming in and taking their land from them and all of that. I think this is just her way of showing that camaraderie and really drawing that connection back to time travelers that have come before her, because this comes right after the scene where Brianna comes into Claire and expresses her concern about Claire trying to change history. Like, isn't this playing with a stacked deck? So it was an interesting choice, but 100% I can understand why they cut it. In context, you really have to sit there and think about why would they include this in this episode. I certainly did whenever I was watching it. I don't really have a concrete reason for why it would be in the episode. So that in and of itself tells me that it wasn't having a huge impact on the arc of the story they were trying to tell, and it didn't really have a place there. The second deleted scene is a scene called Paintbrush from 503 Free Will, and this is a gorgeous scene between Jamie and Claire. I think really the reason that this was cut was it was a slower start scene, and after the initial reunion of Jamie and Claire where he wakes her up in the kitchen whenever he arrives home, this episode really seems to drag before it finally gets going into the meat and potatoes of the episode. So I really think that while this was a gorgeous scene, the reason that it was pulled out was because it just seemed to drag the beginning of the episode. And you know, while Outlander prides itself on being a show that focuses on the little moments like this, sometimes you have to sacrifice those little moments for the overall pacing of the episode. And I think that's really what happened here, because there were some fantastic moments. I mean, the overall aesthetic of Claire's surgery is just gorgeous. So anytime we get a scene in there, it makes my heart happy. This scene, more than anything, I think makes you realize how much Jamie appreciates Claire for all her bits and pieces. She's clearly been busy trying to create penicillin while he's been off with the militia trying to catch the regulators and find Murta. Whenever she shows him the microscope and he looks in it, it's just that complete moment of bonding between these two characters where he completely trusts her and has faith in her and her ability to heal people. And he knows that she's from the future and she has knowledge of things that he doesn't. I think it was a real good give and take of characters from a book standpoint. We get to see the educated part of Jamie. You know, we know that he's smart and honorable and an overall tactician. As he gets older, we start to see him become more of a chess player in a lot of respects, both literally and figuratively. But in this scene, we see him taking what Claire is telling him, where she's looking for the penicillium mold, and he reflects on that and his knowledge of Latin, and he says penicillium, meaning little tail brush, paintbrush. I like getting that educated flavor to Jamie because that's a huge part of who he is. And I think it gets overlooked a lot in respect for Claire's character and her education from the 20th century. So it's good to see that contrast in those characters. But when Claire starts going on and on and on about her love of medicine and how her biggest desire in the world is to heal people, to save people, she just gets this glow about her. She lights up, and it's the one thing that, like, she loves almost more than anything. The only things that she loves more than medicine are Jamie and Brianna. She continues to talk about it, and he just stares at her in this loving way and kind of runs his fingers through her hair and tucks it behind her ear and just has this contented little smile about him. And I love that look because for me, that says, God, I love this woman and everything that she stands for, you know? It's a beautiful and satisfying moment as a viewer, and that for me is what this scene is about. It's about Jamie trusting Claire. He's had enough loss in his life and seen enough of war that if Claire can save one man by growing mold, you know, grow all the mold you want, Sassenach, like, he gets that drive to save lives. The next scene is also from 503 Free Will, called You'll Have What's Left. This is a brief little scene of Marcelie working on her stitching with pigskin, because that is the closest replicant to human flesh, which Claire tells her before she leaves to go with Jamie and the militia to Brownsville. So I understand why they cut this scene, but also, this is the beginning of a much greater issue for Outlander, for the arc that runs all the way through to season 7 for the bugs. If they had kept the little scenes like this, we would have had a much better feel for the bugs as characters, and we might have cared more about where their story was going through season 6 and season 7. This scene is Marcelie butchering the hog, and then she brings in pieces of the hog to practice her stitching. Mrs. Bug is like, oh, bless you for bringing pork for the stew, you know, and Marcelie's like, this isn't for you. And then she takes it into the surgery and shuts the door. Cut to Mrs. Bug dumping slops in the compost heap. And then she kind of sneaks over to the surgery and peeks through the glass window and is spying on Marcelie practicing her stitching. This little nosy busybody streak in Mrs. Bug is something that I think we really could have used moving forward into the story. It starts to really get into that character development and just makes us care a little bit more, even if it's in a negative way. I think that that would have been better to evoke some sort of emotion with the bugs than to just have this indifference that a lot of the audience members have towards the bugs moving on into later episodes. What I will say is I've noticed in the past couple of scenes, a lot of the more cinematic angles and shots from these deleted scenes make their way into other parts of the show. In the last scene that I was talking about called Paintbrush, there's a moment where it catches Jamie turning the mirror in the microscope. And that is actually in the main credits for this season. Kind of in the same vein, this deleted scene, You'll Have What's Left, has that view of Marcelie working on her stitches through that rippled glass that makes up the windows in Claire's surgery. And that is actually the title card for this episode. So some really cool connections that even though the scenes are deleted out, we still get more of those cinematic moments in other beats along through the show. Next, we have another scene from Free Will called Make Your Peace. I think this was a interesting and possibly somewhat detrimental decision to take this scene out. It's a scene of Brianna, trying to get Jemmy calmed down and try to get him to sleep. And then no sooner does she get him to sleep and drift off herself that a few of the women and their children from the ridge come in and start making all kinds of racket and complaining about each other and the behavior of their children. This gives us a really good look at what is going on the ridge. I know that they decided to keep this episode a little bit smaller and compact, stick with Jamie and Claire and occasionally Roger and the men in Brownsville to keep the scope of the episode smaller. And I understand that. But at the same time, I really think that it would have added a lot to Brianna's arc over the course of the season to show what she was dealing with on the ridge. Her and Roger talk about right before they leave that Jamie left Brianna in charge of the ridge. What does that entail exactly? What are her responsibilities? In the books, it actually goes into depth and we spend some time with Brianna watching her make decisions and be herself, so to speak, in Jamie's stead to settle disputes and make decisions. We see a little bit of that here with these two women coming to her and talking about how the children, they put like pine sap all over this little girl or something like that. And because the little girl was making a nuisance of herself, and the two mothers are obviously like, my angel would never, you know. Brianna, poor thing, her child's not sleeping. She's exhausted as it is. She's moved up to the big house because all the men are away and it would be easier to stay with Marcellie and Mrs. Bug and all of the women to take care of all the children in one place. But she's really finding that the longer she stays on the ridge, the more she just wants her own bed. This whole instance with these two women have driven her back to her own cabin in some peace and quiet. I think Sophie really used her performance in this episode to inform her character, and a lot of the scenes with Brianna were cut from this episode. This really goes to show how powerful of an individual she is, how she's kind of coming into her own. She's the daughter of Jamie Fraser in this episode, and so much of that was lost in the editing room, which I just think is a shame, honestly. I love that one of the women is like, what would Colonel Fraser say about that? And Brianna looks at her and says, would you even bring this problem to my father? Like, are you just bringing this to me because I'm a woman? Because I really don't feel like you would be bringing a problem between your three children to my father. I feel like you understand that he has more important things to do and you're really just shoving it off on me because I'm a woman. And that's not cool. The last deleted scene from Free Will is a scene called Idle Talk. It is between Mr. and Mrs. Bug, and once again, we see these decisions to leave their relationship on the cutting room floor. I will say that the Merdina Bug of the show, even in the deleted scenes, is a very different character from who she was in the book. So even if this scene had been kept in the episode, and even if every scene that had been cut with the bugs in it was kept in the show, I really don't think her death would have had the same impact in season 7 as it did in the books. Because in the books, she was a very beloved character, and she was a very grandmotherly, matronly figure for Jamie and Ian and Claire and Roger and Brianna. You know, she took care of them. In the show, she really just seems like a troublemaker. She's so judgy. In this scene in particular, you know, she's like, have you ever seen anything like it? Like, look at all this medicine. And basically saying that what Claire is involved in is as close to witchcraft as it can get. She's so suspicious and likes to start rumors and all the way to Willems Creek for drawing paper. Strange, is it not? Then you've got Arch that's saying, would you cease your heaverin? Your idle talk is what cost me my last job. We see a little bit of a tiff between the bugs, and we see a little bit of Merdina making a nuisance of herself. But like I said, a very different character overall from how she was in the books, even if you look at the material that was cut from this show. So I'm still sticking with it that we really did need to keep some of this because we really just don't care about the bugs moving forward because we haven't really seen them at all. And then we're expected to feel some sort of way about the loss of Merdina later on in the show when we really should have started building that bond with the viewers here in this season. There weren't any deleted or extended scenes from the episode The Company We Keep, so we move along into Perpetual Adoration. We actually have two deleted scenes from Perpetual Adoration. The first is a really brief snippet, probably like 10 seconds, called I Think I'll Pass. It's actually probably an extended scene from when Joe shows up to meet Claire at the bar after she goes off on the nurse after Graham Menzies passes away. She's sitting at the bar reading a book and the bartender gives her a whiskey with a twist and she says, oh, no thanks, I think I'll pass tonight. And that is the extent of the scene. I think it's a very easy lift considering how complex this episode was. They were probably just looking for little places to trim here and there. I will say that the filming location for this particular scene was absolutely gorgeous. This very 60s, 70s era bar with the red backdrop. The coloration was really just gorgeous in this. So that really caught my eye, especially in contrast with Claire's turtleneck. In the books, we talk about auras a lot, especially when we're talking about time travelers and how Jamie's color is very much identified as red versus Claire is identified more as blue, especially in an episode where we're talking about how Claire feels that Jamie is constantly with her and Graham is pulling back all of these desires to reconnect with Jamie after all of these years of having to deny that connection. So the final deleted scene from this episode is called This Is My Work. You know, normally these take on a meaning based off of a quote from that scene, but I think that whoever was naming these may have misunderstood what Jamie said. This whole scene is Fergus talking to Jamie about the Ardsmuir prison rolls that Knox has requested. I like the idea of keeping this scene because especially in later seasons, we really miss that connection between Jamie and Fergus. I honestly kind of felt like in season 5, we lost a little bit of that connection despite Marcelly and Fergus living on the ridge. And then in season 6, when all of the stuff with Fergus's mental health starts coming into play, we're just expected to pick that relationship up right where it left off. And I think that if they had kept this scene, it might have helped us reignite that connection for us between those two characters. So this scene is Fergus offering to help Jamie lift the rolls so that Knox never gets his hands on them. He knows, and Jamie knows, that if Knox sees those prison rolls, he's going to draw that connection between Jamie and Murtaugh, and Jamie will lose a lot of the respect and probably come under suspicion from not only Knox, but Tryon as well. They both see it as a problem, but Jamie is telling Fergus, look, you have a family now. You don't need to be doing dangerous things like this for me. This is my burden to bear, is what Jamie says. So that's why I'm like, I don't know that this scene title, This Is My Work, was actually understood correctly because Jamie definitely said, this is my burden. That was a little bit of a funny thing that's going to bug me now every time I see this deleted scene title. But nevertheless, I think this scene would have been really nice to have. I always felt kind of off about the decision in this episode to have Jamie hide what he did from Fergus and not tell him. I get it's plausible deniability and that if Jamie's the only one that knows what's happened, then they can't come back on Fergus and potentially punish him for something that Jamie did. But in the books, Jamie tells Fergus everything. Like, Fergus is his confidant and his partner in crime. And I feel like a little bit of that relationship was lost in Jamie trying to protect Fergus and not tell him that he took the prisoner rolls, that he killed Knox. I feel like that's something that in my previous understanding of their relationship, they would have shared that burden together. So that decision always felt a little bit off to me when watching the episode. So to see this deleted scene really helped me to appreciate what the writer did in this episode as far as trying to keep that bond between Jamie and Fergus alive. As we roll into the next episode, Better to Marry Than Burn, we get a taste of our first Outlander Untold of season 5 called Luckenbooth. And these kinds of Outlander Untolds I really love because they give us a chance to see the in-between spaces of some of our favorite episodes. And I think that's a controversial statement because a lot of people did not like Better to Marry Than Burn. I actually really did. I don't mind that Murta is in the show. And as a book reader, I understand that that is a controversial statement as well. But this Outlander Untold scene provides us with a very unique perspective on things. This is a scene between Murta and Ulysses right before Murta shows up at Jocasta's chambers to have their big out and out fight slash breakup scene. And it really shows us the depth of feeling that Murta has for Jocasta, but also the depth of feeling that Ulysses has for Jocasta, which I feel like is a very unique perspective. We know about it as book readers, but we don't really see it that much as show watchers. For Ulysses to have a chance to confront Murta and really talk about the situation and flat out call him out on his behavior is really refreshing. I think it's interesting to see someone who, as far as we know at this point, is an enslaved individual really standing up to Murta and saying, look, you had your chance. What on earth makes you think that you have the right to come here and ask Jocasta to jilt her fiance in your favor when you're not even sticking around? Lord knows when you'll be back. And how is that going to be? How is that going to make her feel? How long do you expect her to wait? At the end of the day, Ulysses and Murta, they realize that they have more in common than they would initially think. They both have this very strong love for the same woman. I think also Ulysses knows how much Jocasta loves Murta. He would never take that choice away from her. He knows that she's never going to be able to be with him. So Murta is a good guy for all his faults, and he would rather they be together, and he wants Jocasta to have the choice to be with Murta if she so chooses. That's the depth of feeling that he has for her. He loves her, but I also think he really respects Murta and the values that he stands for. He knows that Murta respects him as a man. So it's a very interesting dynamic for these two. Also, getting Murta's play on things is very interesting as a viewer, because in the episode, we just see Murta show up at Jocasta's bedroom, and we don't get much more than that. We see them together in the Fiery Cross. We see him doing all of his stuff in Between Two Fires, but we don't see the Jocasta Murta element. And then all of a sudden, there it is in full swing in Better to Marry Than Burn. So I think this Outlander Untold gives us a very good feel for the turmoil that he's been going through. Should I go to her? Should I let her go? This is a very important decision for him. He's been by himself. He's been alone for most of his life, and he's finally found this woman that he loves. It just so happens that it's Ellen's sister. All of that aside, because I'm sure that's got its own set of problems attached to it. This was a very big decision for Murta to make as a character. This really impacted his arc over the course of the season and the show. So I think it's good to dig a little bit more into that in this Outlander Untold. So now that we've talked about the Outlander Untold scene for Better to Marry Than Burn, we can move on to the deleted scenes for this episode. The first one is called Treachery. It's a scene between Jamie and John, and my heart is so happy every time I see David Barry, and it's also terribly sad at the same time, because much like I feel like Brianna's scenes got deleted from this season pretty much, I feel the same way about John. John had a much bigger presence in this season, and a lot of his stuff lost screen time, and it's not because they weren't good scenes. David Barry is phenomenal in everything that he is in. And sometimes I really do wonder what was going through the editors and the producers' minds when they were cutting these scenes. I think that this scene in particular really showcases the increasing turbulence within the colony of North Carolina at the time of the regulation. And not only that, but it covers some of what John is going through in his hunt. He's really being Jamie's ally in this search for Stephen Bonnet. This is one of the few scenes where I feel like William is not the topic of discussion, and that would be so amazing to have in the show, an actual conversation between Jamie and John that doesn't involve a little update status on Willie, you know? I am really sad that this was cut. I feel like it was a phenomenal scene between David and Sam. It keeps Stephen Bonnet in the picture a little bit as far as what he's been up to. It's John retelling Jamie what happened with Bonnet taking a dagger to that guy's eyes after the prize fight between the two women, that we got that surprise reveal at the end of the episode. That's likely why they cut this scene, because they felt like it was just retelling something that they had already taken the time to tell on screen, so the audience already knew the whole story. But in this respect, I feel like it's Jamie learning the story, and we get to see that shock and awe value. Sam is so good at playing it. David is so good at playing it as well. And I love their dynamic on screen together. Besides that, I like that John is there trying to be the go-between between Jamie, who kind of turns tail and tries to get away from these two individuals that are basically laying the regulators at Jamie's feet and saying, you're Tryon's guy. You're the one that resulted in the arrest of all of these regulators, and it's on your head if they're executed. That's a terrible burden to lay at Jamie's feet, because that's not what he wants, and he's really between a rock and a hard place on this. And I love that John gets that. He knows that this isn't necessarily easy for Jamie, but that Jamie is doing his duty to the crown. He's trying to intervene on his behalf. So I like that they're trying to defend each other, and they're really still very good friends at this point in the series. So it's always wonderful to see that dynamic between Jamie and John. The final deleted scene for Better to Marry Than Burn is called War and Famine, which is a very interesting title for this scene. I'm not really sure how it connects to the subject matter of this. And this isn't actually a scene, but more of a montage. I believe it's the original ending of 506, which, you know, I kind of am a fan of. It is very much a leave you on the edge of your seat montage, which is perfect for the next episode, which is The Ballad of Roger Mack. It's a very climactic episode. It's Murtaugh's swan song. If we're looking at the cadence of Outlander seasons past, this is probably more apropos. It's more in the footprint of what we've seen in previous seasons. I understand what they were doing with the idea of Stephen Bonnet and leaving us hanging, giving us a bit more of an update on where he's at the end of every episode there for a while. Just kind of, hey, don't forget, this guy's still out here type of check-in. But I really do like this montage at the end. I loved the voiceover. We get voiceovers so few and far between in this series after season one that I'm kind of a fan of them when they're done correctly. And I really did like how this refers back to how we got the name of this episode, where the Bible says, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. So that's where this episode title comes back to, but then it morphs into more of a voiceover of Claire saying, you know, Jamie and I had done our best to protect our family, but we were about to be on a collision course between our family and war. That is a really foreboding sentiment moving into the next episode, which is the regulation and the Battle of Alamance. So I feel like that gives us much more of a, oh my God, moment when we look at Murtaugh watching them enter back into River Run from a distance and then riding away. It just had this Outlander-y feel, and I almost feel like this would have made this a better episode. That scene as part of the montage after Tryon and his wife move away in the carriage lingers on Jamie and Claire standing on the path outside of River Run, talking about how it was always Tryon's plan to clean house before he went to New York and make himself the conquering hero, you know, and how he's really set this conflict with the regulators on a path to where he's going to get the war that he wanted. The backdrop of that scene with Jamie and Claire and the lighting against the lush greenery of all of the trees and the rolling fields where they have that River Run house set is such a gorgeous location that I'm just sad we didn't get it, purely because it's so beautiful to look at. That lighting peeking through the trees onto Sam and Katrina's faces, it is really a beautiful moment. So from all of those perspectives, cinematically and writing-wise, I feel like it would have been a better choice to keep this as the original ending to the show. But I get where they were trying to go with the new format and trying to leave the viewer hanging on the Stephen Bonnet train. I guess it's dealer's choice on that. Some people probably really like the choice to have Bonnet in there and some people don't. Me personally, I like the Outlander footprints that we have set forth, and this montage felt very much like OG Outlander. So we've moved on to 507, The Ballad of Roger Mack, and this was my personal favorite episode of season 5. It only had one deleted scene. It's called Is That You, Dad? And it's a scene with Roger making his way over to the regulator camp. He senses the presence of someone watching over him, and he thinks it's his father. And it's a quick little scene with him talking about how, well, this doesn't compare to flying Spitfires over the English Channel and escorting bombers to Germany, but a mission is a mission. Him doing this mission for Jamie not only helps him prove himself to Jamie, but helps him prove himself to himself, you know, to feel like he's the son of Jerry McKenzie, and if Jerry McKenzie was brave enough to fight in World War II as a Spitfire pilot, then he can do this. It was a very easy scene to lift out. It wasn't really connected to any other part of the story, so I can understand why they cut it, but it was a very nice piece of character work for Rick Rankin and for Roger. And I think especially for an episode that was named The Ballad of Roger Mack, we could have used a little bit more of Roger in this episode. I know that's a lot of people's biggest complaint about this episode is that, okay, but why are you naming an episode after somebody that is barely in the episode? And it's true. There are a few big scenes with Roger, but for the most part is a Jamie-centric episode. So it's really odd that this episode is called The Ballad of Roger Mack, and I'm fully willing to admit that. So we've moved on to the next episode of season 5, 508, Famous Last Words. This was a fantastic episode, and it was one of those episodes that I had really, really hoped they would release an extended edition on whenever we got the Blu-ray and DVD, because there were so many great scenes that were cut from this episode simply for time. This was a very long episode, but before we get into the deleted and extended scenes for this episode, we're going to talk about the Outlander Untold, which is called Social Visit. And it is a lovely compilation of scenes between Lauren and Cesar as Marcelly and Fergus. And you know, we love Fursaly so much in the Outlander fandom. Lauren and Cesar are wonderful and they have great chemistry on screen together. This scene was really born out of an episode where the writers and the producers wanted more Fergus and Marcelly, but just simply didn't have time. And so this scene evolved into an Outlander Untold where we can get an inside glimpse into their relationship, their dynamic. They're very playful and young. Marcelly's at this point in her late teens, early 20s, and pregnant with her third baby. And while her and her husband love each other desperately, that causes a lot of concern. And we see that concern expressed in this Outlander Untold. They're also talking about Marcelly's decision to take tarot cards to visit with Roger and how he got the hangman twice. We see a little bit of the Highland superstition in Marcelly and that tendency towards the Parisian witchy woo-woo that Fergus has, you know, La Dame Blanche and all of that. But also having grown up in the Highlands, he believes in the same mythical folklore elements that she does. And so, you know, he's like, oh, it's all hearsay anyway. There's nothing saying that the tarot cards are really real. But at the end of the day, it was just really great to see this dynamic that Fergus and Marcelly have together. I know that Lauren and Cesar, they've made comments here and there about how this scene just felt super awkward to film, probably because it didn't have any surrounding story for them to sink their teeth into and really build up to like you would in a normal episode, but I think that they did a fantastic job with it. It suits their characters. It allows us to see what their everyday lives are like. I talk about this a lot in the Droughtlander book clubs that I put together with the Celtic Brooch series, because the way that romance books are typically structured, you get a love story and then you move on to another love story within that same world that has been built. And the Celtic Brooch books are very much like that. You get one couple and it's their arc over the book, and then you get another couple in the next book and another couple. And you don't really get to see the inner workings of those relationships, and you don't get to see them grow and evolve. And that's what I love so much about Outlander, because the first book is very much open and shut romance. You get Jamie and Claire meeting, and you get the building of their relationship, and you get somewhat of a happily ever after at the end of Outlander. But it's the rest of the series that really grows around this couple, and you watch them age and grow and become parents and grandparents. And so to see other characters grow through life, like Roger and Brianna and Fergus and Marcelly, it's satisfying as a viewer to watch. That's what I like about this Outlander Untold. It's giving us an opportunity to explore a couple of characters and their dynamic off screen in a way that's very satisfying to watch. Okay, so let's talk about some of these freaking phenomenal deleted scenes from Famous Last Words. The first one on the docket is called Find the Words. It is between Claire and Brianna. First off, right out of the gate, we just do not get enough Claire and Brianna scenes. I will be honest. They have such a fantastic mother-daughter relationship. Katrina brings out the absolute best in Sophie's acting, as far as I'm concerned. And they really play off of each other so well. They have a vibrant chemistry on screen. And I'm always sad when I see their scenes deleted. This scene in particular was fantastic because it's talking about how Brianna feels this immense sense of guilt over her final time with Frank. If you'll remember back to Down the Rabbit Hole in season 4, we're referencing back to things we've seen in this show already. In that scene where Frank tells Brianna that Claire and he are getting a divorce, he says to Brianna, "I love you," and Brianna says, "I have to go." This scene is Brianna expressing her guilt over that. Like, I didn't tell him I loved him. And it's Claire comforting her daughter and saying, look, Frank knew you loved him. Sometimes it's not about the words, and sometimes there just aren't words. Brianna is thinking about all the things that she should have said to Frank in that moment, and if she could go back and do it all over again, the things that she would say. She feels like Roger is going through the exact same thing, but he's still alive. He's going through that sense of loss while still alive, and how torturous that may seem to him. And Claire, God bless her, I mean, she's been through loads of loss in her life. She's seen traumatic things happen to other people, and she's been through traumatic things herself. So she has a lot of advice to give on a subject like this, and I feel like she's such a motherly figure in the best way possible for Brianna in this moment. I just felt this scene in my bones so much. And here, yet again, we see another one of Sophie's scenes that was very powerful that was cut from this season. The second scene that was deleted from Famous Last Words is a scene called One Last Drink. It is yet another scene between Jamie and John that was deleted from this season. And you see where I'm going. There's a pattern. Lots of Brianna scenes deleted. Lots of John scenes deleted. I kind of do understand this one because it didn't really have any bearing on the episode. I always love seeing John and Jamie together, as you can tell from me fawning over literally everything that has been deleted that has had John in it. David is great, but I do feel like the intoxicated play on this scene was a little bit heavy-handed. I think we could have gone without it, and I understand why they cut it. But it was also really good to see John admitting to Jamie that he may have been wrong about Tryon and Tryon's motivations. I think after Alamance and everything that happened there, John is really starting to see maybe not everybody has honorable intentions like he does, and maybe not everybody on the British side is doing things for the right reasons. I think that Alamance helped him see that, and having that scene in this episode really would have added a bit of stakes to John's story moving forward. But then again, that might not necessarily be something that the showrunners were wanting to go for. They may want to make John more of a black and white character as far as that's concerned. It's certainly easier to portray as we get on into future seasons where the storylines become more complex and there are more characters to cover. So that may be something that they weren't ready to explore yet, but I definitely miss it. I like the dynamic of John admitting to Jamie how brave he is for bringing Murta home to bury him at Fraser's Ridge and giving Jocasta the opportunity to mourn him and say her goodbyes to him. It's just a really great, almost familial scene in a way. That kinship between Jamie and John is there in spades, and when they're alone and nobody's watching, they are really free to have this rich friendship that we so love about them. And I'm sad that we don't get more scenes like it, but there's only so much screen time in an episode that was running so long. We really did need to focus on Roger and Roger's rehabilitation and Roger's coping with what happened to him at Alamance. So I understand that the Jamie and John story wasn't necessarily a priority in that respect. But again, scenes like this are why I was a proponent of getting an extended edition on the Blu-ray and DVD. When we were reading the initial scripts as they came out and I noticed how much they cut from this episode, I was really rooting for that extended edition, and we just didn't get it, but we did get a good chunk of the scenes that were cut, edited, and provided here in the deleted scenes, which is always good. The next deleted scene from Famous Last Words is a scene called He Seems Changed between Jamie and Claire shortly after the return of young Ian. This scene really shows a turning point within the episode. I think Jamie was so distraught over the loss of Murta. He was in such deep mourning, and then Ian comes back into his life and there's this beam of hope for the first time. So I liked that aspect of this scene, that he seems to have a bit more pep in his step. But again, same deal as with John. Like, this episode was not about Jamie. That's what the last episode was for. This episode is about Roger. So in that respect, I agree with them cutting this scene. It did have one single mention of how Ian is not one for talking about anything right now, really. And Jamie looks at Claire and says, him and Roger make a good pair. And that is literally the theme of this episode. That's why Ian and Roger are so perfect for each other, because they're both going through their different versions of their own loss, and they're in similar stages of grief over that loss. And so they don't feel the need to talk about it and discuss their feelings, but I think they can find comfort in each other in the simple presence of not needing to talk. There isn't a need for words. That, I think, is what makes the title of this episode so great, is in every single one of these scenes, we have seen that through line of Famous Last Words, the need to say something, the need to say nothing at all. Verbal versus nonverbal communication, gestures versus words. There's all of these byplays on that title. We even see it in the deleted scenes, which is a really strong theme if you can even see it in the scenes that were cut out of an episode. The last deleted scene of Famous Last Words is a scene called He's Not Roger. I struggle so much with this scene being cut, and I know that you guys know what I'm about to say, because this scene is between Jamie and Brianna. I feel like we have so few scenes between Jamie and Bree that we really needed this, especially considering where we go in Journey Cake with Jamie expressing how much he's gonna miss Bree and how much she has made his life whole and all of this. I need them to have some scenes together, and we really don't get many scenes with them together in season 5, or really after Birds and the Bees. So at this point, it's been well over a season since we really have gotten much of anything as far as scenes between Jamie and Bree. This scene was so great. It was a chance for Jamie to really be a father to Bree and to give her some advice. I think it pairs very nicely with that first deleted scene called Find the Words between Bree and Claire. It's Bree leaning on her relationship with her parents. And I think if we had had these two scenes in the episode, it really would have helped us connect the pieces with her struggling to leave them so much in Journey Cake here in a couple of episodes. So in that respect, I really struggle with them cutting this scene. It's Jamie empathizing with Bree and saying, look, I understand what you're going through because for 20 years, I didn't know if I was ever going to see my wife again. I didn't know what was going through her head, what she was going through in her life, whether she was okay, whether my child was okay. And like, I get that, but I still would have kept going and done what must be done. And you will too. That's life. And I love that fatherly moment from him. We needed a moment like that between Bree and Jamie. And so this scene is one that I really, really struggle with losing. The next episode, 509 Monsters and Heroes, didn't have any deleted scenes, but it did have another Outlander Untold. This one is called Deceptively Charming, and it is between Lizzie and Josiah. It's a cute little scene, but I'll be honest, my favorite Outlander Untolds are ones with characters that expand upon a storyline that is already existing in an episode that we don't necessarily have time to explore in the actual timed episode. So this particular scene didn't really grab my attention in the way that some of the other season 5 Outlander Untolds have. That and the threesome between Lizzie, Kezzy, and Joe just really weirds me out, and it is not one of my favorite things that Diana has decided to include in this universe. So I think that that already has like tainted anything that we get with Lizzie, Joe, and Kezzy in it. But this scene explores the beginnings of that little attraction that the three of them have together, and it's so cute between Joe and Lizzie because they're really just flirting with each other and saying how much they like each other and how they didn't want the conversation to end. So in a way, I like it and I think it's cute, but also it's already got my teeth on edge because I know what it's insinuating for next season. And I will say that these Outlander Untolds for season 5 are way better, like far and away better than the ones from season 4. So vast improvement for sure. The next episode on the docket is 510, Mercy Shall Follow Me. And this episode follows Brianna's inevitable re-encounter with Stephen Bonnet. And there is one deleted scene from this episode called Elegant Blade. It's actually one that I was pretty sad to see cut. Not necessarily because the choreography was the best. I will say that normally when scenes like this are cut, I am sad for the actors because I know how much work was put into getting the choreography down. And there were some fantastic cinematic moments in this scene, to be sure. Primarily when Roger fakes Jamie out and he turns around in front of the sword maker's booth and the coattails of his coat come flying around as he spins back towards Roger. That is a fantastic moment and I love that shot so much. As for the general choreography of the quote unquote fight scene, I think it was mediocre at best. The moves weren't complex, but then again, that might be the purpose because Roger's not necessarily an excellent swordsman at this point, but he's definitely improved from where we left him prior to the events at Alamance. An agreement that they made in Monsters and Heroes was that once Jamie was well and back on his feet, Jamie would teach Roger how to fight. And so that is something that has happened in the time that's been covered between Monsters and Heroes and Mercy Shall Follow Me. That in itself signals that quite a bit of time has passed. Jamie as well, Roger knows how to sword fight. So I think that this scene helps to convey how much time has gone by over the course of this episode. This season covers a massive amount of time. I not only liked this scene for those reasons that I just mentioned, but also for the way that it ends, because so much of this season has been predicated on Jamie's distaste for Roger and how Roger isn't good enough for his daughter and he's useless and he doesn't have any 18th century talents and he's basically just a lowlife that Jamie's having to take care of and rescue over and over again. And at the end of the scene, he asks Roger if the blade will do and Roger says it'll do and Jamie says good. So will you. And I love, love, love that moment. It is such a moment of validation and recognition for Roger that he has Jamie's respect. And I think that is vital for a viewer to see, given where Roger's story goes. Roger is a major player in this series, and it is important that Jamie approves of him and that the viewers see that Jamie approves of him. For that reason alone, I'm really sad that this got cut. Like I said, not necessarily because the choreography was stellar or anything like that, but I just feel like this was a wonderful character moment. 5/11 Journey Cake was written by Diana Gabaldon, and I think you can really see the strength of her writing in this episode. It's a very concise episode, but very strong. All the scenes, with the exception of one, were kept, and that deleted scene is called Born Free. I like this scene because it helps to elaborate on that Outlander Untold that we saw between Murta and Ulysses earlier. What this scene is an extended scene of where Jamie and Claire go to check on Ulysses at the lean-to on Fraser's Ridge, where he is hiding because he's a wanted man for killing Gerald Forbes. And this is where Jamie and Claire learn that Ulysses was actually born a free man. After his father died, his mother was forced to sell herself and in turn Ulysses to make a living and survive. A itinerant scholar took pity on Ulysses and needed someone to talk to on his long travels, so he taught Ulysses how to speak French and how to read, and that in turn ended up making him very valuable property that Hector Cameron ended up purchasing for his wife, who was losing her sight and needed a companion who could be her eyes for her. This is learning all about that. It's not something that is necessarily critical to the story as a whole, but it really helps us understand Ulysses' character, especially when we're looking at how Ulysses reacted to Murta's waffling in not knowing whether he wanted to stay or whether he wanted to go, and kind of leading Jocasta on, tugging her back and forth. Ulysses loves Jocasta, but he also didn't have to stick around. He's free. She set him free years ago, and he stuck around because he loved her and he wanted to be there for her, and he felt like she needed him. Whenever we got that scene with Murta and Ulysses where Ulysses like, I have made my own choices. You know, this is one of those things that he was talking about. Like, he was sold into slavery, but he's been free for a long time and he's still stuck around under the pretenses of being a slave for Jocasta. That is one of the main reasons why he has so little respect for Murta and Murta's decisions. So I liked this scene. It gives us a little bit of extra something-something with Ulysses to help us understand his character a little bit. But in the grand scheme of Journey Cake, this episode wasn't about Ulysses and what was happening with him, so I understand why it was cut. The last scene that we get from season 5 is an Outlander Untold from 5/12, Never My Love. It's between Lizzie and Ian, and it's called War Paint. And it's where Ian is going through the kitchen trying to find some sort of materials to make the paint that we see in that famous cinematic shot of him painting his face red before they go off to save Claire. It's an interesting interaction between Lizzie and Ian. Don't think that I don't also find it interesting that Lizzie got 2 Outlander Untolds and everybody else only got 1. I suppose that we could say that they get more actual screen time, and that could be a valid argument. But nevertheless, this was a neat little scene. Again, not my favorite. The writing felt a little bit clunky in this one. I liked that it was one of those scenes that gave us more perspective on things that we were actually seeing in the episode. Like I said, those are more of my flavor whenever we're talking about these Outlander Untolds versus things that just seem to be totally random. However, this particular thing of Ian painting his face, I almost felt like it was more powerful when we didn't have the whole story, you know, like when it was just this mythical Mohawk warrior painting his face before he goes to war for his auntie. And I also felt like it was a bit counterintuitive in a way, because Ian and Lizzie have this whole conversation about Samson and Delilah and the Bible and stuff. And at this point in the story, Ian has really embraced his Mohawk side, and he hasn't fully come to terms with being part Scottish, part Mohawk. That's really more of a side of him that he explores in season 6, and that's a huge part of his arc there. So to include this conversation and make us feel like he's already accepted that there can be 2 halves of a whole in him in season 5 just felt very odd compared to the story that they were trying to tell in the following season. So for those reasons, I wasn't really a huge fan of this. It seemed unbalanced compared to the story that we explore more of in season 6. That brings my analysis of the season 5 deleted, extended, and extra scenes to a close. As I'm recording this, it is a few days before I leave for LandCon. I had to record it early to make sure to get it out to you guys on time, but we did get a few really cool pieces of news this week regarding Outlander Season 8 and Blood of My Blood. We learned that Fergus and Marcelly are back, baby. They are coming back for the final season of Outlander, and I am so excited to see them reprising their roles. I have a feeling that I know what that means. So for those of you that do not want spoilers, you may want to turn this off because I'm going to discuss it a little bit, not in depth, but there will be a pretty major spoiler here. So please turn off if you're trying to avoid spoilers, and please stay tuned if you want to hear my thoughts on this news that we got this week. But the reappearance of Cesar Domboy and Lauren Lyle, when we have heard from the producers that they are not going to be in 7B, tells me that they left the Fergus Marcelly Henri Christian plot out of the initial 7B. Whenever they were breaking down the episodes for season 7, they were very much under the impression that season 7 was their final season. So they cut a lot of things out in the interest of streamlining Echo and Moby into one satisfying season with a satisfying ending, which ended with Hello the House. Now that they know they're getting season 8, they took that opportunity to bring some of the storylines from book 8 into the story for season 8. A lot of that will, I believe, include Henri Christian's death and the fallout from that. The print shop fire, all of that will be included in the final season, is my gut instinct on it. I feel like that's something that they felt like they could leave out of season 7 if it were to be the final season. But now that they have more screen time, they're going back and revisiting some of those major plot points that were cut from season 7. Likewise, I think we're going to get bits and pieces of the storyline from Bees. We'll see William as more of a larger character in season 8, which I'm excited about. But yes, the news that Lauren and Cesar were back for season 8 gives me hope that we're going to get some of those really good storylines from Fursley moving into our final season. And as for the news for Blood of My Blood, we got some more casting announcements on that front. They have officially cast the roles of Isaac Grant, Malcolm Grant, Davina Porter, and Red Jacob McKenzie. Isaac Grant, I'm not sure. I believe that's going to be the Grant, so Malcolm Grant's father, I believe, and I'm very interested to see what role he's going to play. Malcolm Grant is the suitor that Ellen jilted in favor of Brian Fraser. He's going to be played by Jan Lumsden. Davina Porter is Brian Fraser's mother, who was named after the narrator for the audiobooks. And just so you guys know, this is not a decision that Starz made. This is a decision that Diana Gabaldon made back in like 1999, and it's just now seeing the light of day. So Starz is getting a lot of credit for it, and people are like, oh, that's really freaking cool. But it was Diana's idea, y'all, and it's been that way for a while. If you go back to the official Outlander guides and look at the family trees in there, it flat out says that Brian Fraser's mother is Davina Porter. So we've got Davina Porter being played by Sarah Vickers, and then we've got Red Jacob McKenzie being played by Peter Mullen. The Red Jacob McKenzie angle is very interesting. That leads me to believe that we're going to get some flashbacks, because my understanding of it is where Diana's book, the prequel, picks up. It is based after Red Jacob's death, when Colum is officially ascending as the chief of the McKenzie clan. It looks like we're going to be covering a larger span of time and perhaps something a little bit earlier than where Diana's book is going to start. That's just my feelings on it. That might not be accurate at all, but that's kind of how I'm feeling after we're starting to get these casting announcements. We've also got casting announcements for Colum, Dougal, and Ned, like the younger versions of themselves. themselves, and they are really fantastic as well. So we're really starting to get a feel for all of these characters that are coming to life in Bomb. I'm still not quite sure how to feel about it, to be honest. I mean, I'll give it a try because it's Outlander and all of that, but it's going to be an adjustment for sure. So stay tuned for more updates. I will be back in 2 weeks to discuss everything that I learn from the LandCon convention in Paris. A lot of the movers and shakers from Outlander will be there, including the likes of Sam Heughan, Tobias Menzies, David Barry, Charles Vandervaart, Sophie Skelton, Richard Rankin, and many more. So I am so excited to be able to participate, and I can't wait to tell you guys all about it. So make sure to tune in for my next episode. And until then, you guys stay safe out there, and I'll chat at you later. Bye!